shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
We're looking at Hosea chapter 11. But we're thinking back to the character in the book of Genesis named Joseph, who is also one of our ushers. Not the same guy, but same type of man, a man of God. But Joseph's trials were worked together for good. You know that verse in Romans 8:28, you've probably claimed it a bazillion times. Joseph's trials worked together for good for him, and he had trials. His family turned against him. He was sold into slavery. He was lied about. He was imprisoned. He was betrayed in prison. He was all kinds of trials happened to him. And it didn't look good. And every time a new trial would happen in his life, the Bible tells us, and God was with Joseph. And it didn't look good. And every time a trial, don't be with me anymore. It's getting worse. But every time things would get worse for Joseph, and God was with Joseph. Great. Could you give me a vacation? But God was with Joseph, and God was with Joseph because it all worked together in the end. You just couldn't see it when you're in the middle of it. And that's, of course, our problem many times in things that we go through. You can't see it in the middle. But it works out in the end, and that's why we operate in faith, because in the middle, at least we can have faith knowing that it will work together for good. At least in our hearts, while things are crashing in on us, we can say, but I know it's going to work together. I know God has a plan. I know this is going to come out okay. However it comes out, it may not come out the way I want it or expect it, but however it comes out, it's going to be okay because God has a plan. And I can say that in the middle of my trial because we have faith and we have promises. So Joseph's trials worked together for good. We know that those who put him in the trials, put him in those trials for evil, it says. They tried to put evil on Joseph, but God meant it for good. That's a great verse, Genesis 50 and verse 20. They meant it for evil. They weren't trying to help Joseph or bless Joseph or see that Joseph was promoted. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was going to use it and promote him in it. So God raised up Joseph in Egypt and made him the number two man in the nation under Pharaoh through a series of dreams and interpretations, which Pharaoh greatly appreciated Joseph's ability to interpret. And the dreams, of course, had to do with the great famine that was coming upon the land, 7 years of famine, but first it'd be 7 years of plenty. And that information came in very useful if you're the leader of a nation, because the 7 years of plenty, you can prepare for the 7 years of famine. And you're not just taken by surprise. So Joseph got the number two spot in the nation, and he was told to prepare for the famine. Use the 7 years of plenty and build silos and build warehouses and save, store the food and make sure we have enough food to get us through the 7 years of famine. This worked out for Joseph's dad, whose name is Jacob, and Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery and deserved nothing. But it worked out for them because they were over in where they were abiding in Canaan, and there the famine would hit as well, and they would be without food, but they, in some amazing way, if you read the story, connected back with Joseph, And Joseph brought them to Egypt and took care of them during those 7 years of famine. So they were blessed during the 7 years of famine because of Joseph was put in the right place by God. God used his trials, promoted him, and moved him around and meant it for good and brought him to the place where he was in charge now and he could help his family. Didn't look much like he could help his family in the early years. But at some point, God raised him up and he was able to help his family. And Jacob and the sons and all the wives and the children and the grandchildren and everybody else were able to move into Egypt and were taken care of during those 7 years of famine. Now, Jacob stayed there. The children of Israel stayed in Egypt for 400 years. They never went back to where they came from. They stayed there for 400 years and were become the object of jealousy for the Egyptians and were put into servitude. They got the worst jobs in the state, in the nation. They were given the jobs that slaves do. They were treated as a national slave group rather than personally being owned by individual people owning the slaves. The whole group was considered to be a slave of the nation of Egypt. And they were treated such, they were given incredible work hours and hard work and very low pay. But even through all their most difficult times, the worst economic times since the Great Depression, the worst economic times, no matter how bad it was, God blessed Israel in Egypt. They became a great nation in Egypt. And they prospered in Egypt, and the Egyptians continued to be jealous of them. Jealousy produced hatred. But they were there in the land of Goshen. That's where they lived. That was their community. And they were still flourishing and still being blessed by God, even though they were living like slaves. So it's a hard thing to comprehend. I'm a slave, but God's blessing me. I don't quite understand that. Slavery, you know, freedom would be a great blessing, but that was coming. But they were being blessed in their situation. The situation didn't change for them. Those who lived in the early years of that 400 years, they were going to be born and they were going to die as slaves. So their situation didn't change, but God still blessed and comforted them in the situation, which is what he can do for any believer today. Even if your situation doesn't change, which we always hope it does, because that's the best scenario for us, that you know that our situation would change. But even if it doesn't, God is able to bless us and prosper us and grow us up, and we can still be his people even in a situation that doesn't change. So later on, of course, we get to verse 1 here in Hosea chapter 11. Is God, through the prophet Hosea, remembering the early years when he called Israel out of Egypt. And of course, after the 400 years, God commissioned Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. And you know that story, the 10 plagues that he had to bring into Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let the people go and so forth. But God commissioned Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And we are told here in verse 1 why he did so. It said, when Israel was a child, which means the very early beginnings of the nation, those 400 years in Egypt, when Israel was a child, I loved him. There's my motivation. I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. I loved him, and I wasn't going to leave him in Egypt. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The father's love motivated God to call them out of bondage and to fulfill his promises to them. I loved them. And I called them out. And, of course, they went through the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness and eventually would reach, this next generation would reach the promised land. But it was the father's love that motivated him to call him out. In verse 2, it says, as they called him, speaking of the prophets, as they called them. In other words, I sent, after Moses and after Joshua, I sent prophets to instruct my people, the ones that I called out of Egypt, the ones whom I love. And I sent prophets to call to them, to teach them, to show them, to guide them, to instruct them, to minister to them. I called prophets, and so they went from them. I called the prophets, but the people backed away from the prophets. They didn't want to hear the teachers of the word. They didn't want to hear what God had to say about their lifestyles. They didn't want to hear anything. They backed away from the prophets. And then even a more scathing account here in verse 2, they sacrificed to the Baals. So here's God's people, Israel, after many years of being set free from Egypt, and they're still sacrificing to the Baals, the Canaanite gods of Canaan. And they burned incense to the carved images. They're idolatrous. You would think after 40 years of manna from heaven and good health and shoes that didn't wear out and clothes that didn't wear out and God's protection over them time and time again, you would think after a plethora of miracles that God had shown them, they would be converted. Here they are in Canaan, worshiping the Canaanite gods and carved images, turning their backs on God. You know, more than 50 times in the Old Testament, the prophets say, Israel, remember, remember your God. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he loves you. Over and over again, he would tell them, remember, remember, remember. Why? Because they'd forget and they'd turn to all kinds of stuff. Human nature, at its best or at its worst, however you look at it. Now, the New Testament idea of idolatry is a little different. Well, actually, it's the same, but we don't have carved images. Nobody has carved images in their pockets, I don't think. I used to have a lucky rabbit's foot years ago, but repented from that. But we don't have carved images, and we don't offer to Baals. We don't even know what a bale is, a bale of hay or bale of whatever, cotton. We don't know what bales are, and we don't know what carved images are, but we have our own brand of idolatry. In the New Testament, Paul makes it clear, anything that when a believer attaches himself to anything, he attaches his affections to anything, which is something that takes him away from his walk with God, he is experiencing New Testament idolatry. So that could reach out into the realm of anything. When I attach my affections to something that takes me away from God, then I am experiencing the New Testament form of idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 5. So let's say I've recently been introduced to the game of tennis, being so athletic as I am. And every day I'm out there on the courts and I'm playing tennis, and I'm loving tennis. Tennis is just so cool. I can't wait to get back on the court tomorrow. I can't wait to, and that tennis is a great game. It's very good. It's fun. It's good exercise. But I find myself playing tennis more and more, and I'm thinking about it more.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.